Hello everyone, welcome back to the Shintaro Higashi Show, Peter Yu. Today, we're going to talk about making friends at the dojo.
Making friends at judo, making friends at the dojo.
At jiu-jitsu, whatever thing that you're doing, how to do it like sort of in a socially non-awkward way.
Well, before we jump into the topic, just a quick shout out to our biggest sponsors, Levon and Jason. Yep. Thank you guys so much for your support.
Yep. As always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, all right, well, when you suggested this topic, you know, my mind immediately went to that infamous episode you did, dating at the dojo or something like that, right?
Yes, dating in the dojo. Kind of, sort of, don't do it, but, you know, if you must, it's natural to develop crushes, right?
Yeah. But I think making friends at the dojo is very much encouraged.
Yeah, very much encouraged. I think it's great because when you go into the gym, right? If you go to like the best managed gym ever, if you have a 2 week blank where you don't go to training, someone from the gym should reach out theoretically, right? Hey, where are you? We haven't seen you. Like, you were getting so good. But most gyms don't have the mental capacity or the bandwidth to be able to follow everybody and then make sure everyone's there. Yes, they take attendance and maybe they have like an automated email thing like, hey, you haven't been to class in 2 weeks. But to give that soft personal touch is very difficult, right, for retention purposes. But if there's an environment where people are very friendly and you have friends, training partners, you get sick, you have a cold, you're not there for a couple weeks, your training partners or your friends are going to be like, yo, where have you been?
Right? I know,
So it's very important for you to maintain, right, a consistent thing.
Yeah.
And someone to keep you accountable, right?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of benefits there. Like, you know, you could always, you know, if you have a lot of friends, you could ask them for their opinion on what might be going wrong with your judo game.
Yeah.
Or you can work on certain things. Or I think, like you said, if you've been absent for a while, they'll check on you.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's a great place to make friends because just by the fact that you're doing judo or jiu-jitsu, you're of a certain breed of person. Right? So you have a similar mentality. If you enjoy this thing, you're all like you're a same kind of weird. You know what I mean?
Where'd you from all those golfers?
Yeah. You guys, you know, that's like Peter's world with Prince and all this stuff.
I can say that because my wife and I have started playing a lot of golf together, just so you know, I'm a big golfer. But anyway, so I think, the benefits are innumerable, but let's kind of go back to the beginning. You know, if you are a complete beginner, so for example, I think it for me as an experienced judoka or grappler, it's pretty easy for me to just kind of go into a different dojo, like a completely new dojo, and then make friends because I speak the lingo, I can roll, yada yada,
and you're
so
connected
and so
at
forth.
The top too, like you know Shintaro,
exactly.
Like usually they do. You know somebody that's a black belt that knows somebody at that gym who's a black belt, so it's much easier if you have somebody in common.
Right. For example, when I went to a assembly in Michigan, I was connected with the owner, Dave Garmo, through you. And so it was very easy for me to get to know a lot of people there. It's very easy. But as a beginner, just walking into the dojo, it's pretty, I would say it's pretty overwhelming or intimidating almost because a lot of people seem to know each other. And then they're like pretty rough with each other physically,
for sure.
So
they get competitive, but you know, with any forced repeated interaction, right, that's why it's so much easier to make friends in high school, you know, or college, right, because you're in the same place geographically, you're going to the same place over and over, so no matter what, like, hey man, can I borrow a pencil or whatever it is, these like repeated things that you kind of interact and give and take and stuff like that, you're naturally gonna, you know, start making friends that way, right? And it's kind of the same in the dojo, but you got to kind of keep your ego to the side and kind of be humble a little bit. You know, because you don't want to, no one wants to be friends with the guy who's an asshole. You know what I mean? So you got to be kind, friendly, all those things, I think, initially. You know, these are like all normal human things, but a lot of grapplers don't kind of have it together. They're just like super socially awkward. They're trying to like take your head off and they're like, I wonder why this guy doesn't want to, you know, be friends with me. It's like, dude, you just crank it on a freaking neck crank.
Yeah.
For 45 seconds, like, why would you do that, you know?
So being a good training partner, we've been preaching about this throughout the whole podcast history, but that's all given, you know.
Given.
You know, don't be patronizing, even if you're, you know, and don't be an asshole about cranking the neck or whatever.
Yeah. And I think like giving compliments is a big one, you know?
Yeah.
As males in this thing, you know, there's predominantly males in the sport, right? And there are women too, but it's predominantly males. And, you know, the demographic that go to these places, a lot of the times, those guys get no love, man. You know, people, guys don't like, hey, man, you're looking strong today or big today or... You know, women every day, they go to this thing and, oh my God, did you get your hair done? It looks so beautiful, the nails, and maybe it's not genuine. But males get a lot less compliments. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We're and not really nice to each other.
No, not nice to each other. And you don't want to be like facetious and like annoying, like, oh, just giving praise everybody. Yeah. But, you know, someone does something that they've been working on and, oh man, dude, that, you know, Top Game was nice or Nikot was good or that Uchimaru was fire. You know, whatever. You know, hey man, you lost a little bit of weight. You look great. You know, I think you joined to lose weight, right? You know, having a conversation like that and, you know, not being stingy with compliments. And then when you receive compliments as a male, you just say thank you and accept it. Yeah. You know? And that kind of makes you cool. And now all of a sudden you're developing this camaraderie when you're going into the gym, you know?
Yeah.
It's the best. That's,
and I think all these things, you know, socially accepted, you know, norms and whatever are given. But I think the key point here is consistency, I think.
Yeah.
Like you said, FaceTime, you know, you have to show up, then people will, you know, with repeated interaction, like you said, people will just get to know you better.
Yes.
Just by showing up. Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't want to be the weirdo that's like, hey, let's go out to lunch right away. No, don't do that. Hey, can I get your phone number? Don't do that right off the bat. You got to ease into that, especially if you're like a bunch of dudes grappling, dude. That's too much. You know, like too close quarters, too intimate. He's always making comments about how like in shape I am. It's a little bit too weird. You know what I mean?
I think
so you need that intermediary thing, which is Instagram.
Hey, can I follow you on Instagram? Is that
you gotta
is
find
that
a each good other new on thing? Instagram. Yeah, you gotta find each other on Instagram. Yeah, I think so.
I'm kind of old far on that part because I it's kind of a weird thing to for me. It feels a little weird to ask, like, hey, what's your Instagram? Can I follow you?
Instead of like, you on the gram? You don't say that.
It's more that I do have Instagram. I check it a lot, but just I think the norms have changed. I guess
here's a good one. Yeah, this one I did this like. Couple months ago,
making
friends with Pat. Hey, you want to get together and drill 30 minutes before class? Yeah, here I'll text you. You know, I'll let you know what time I'm coming in. You know,
Very easy.
Even before I didn't even get the guy's number first. You know, I ease into that stuff. I don't want to be like creepy, right? So like, yo, I'll hit you up before you know I head out or something. So you know, I know you're you know we both have kids, so it's like put each other on the schedule. Like you on Instagram. And it's like, it's and then now we're like Instagram buds. And then it's like, yo, you training? And then we send each other memes. Memes is like the gateway to any male friendship now. You know? And that's so easy because you have the same hobby.
I think it's any relationship, really.
Yeah. So you send each other judo memes or jiu-jitsu moves or throws. And then every now and then you throw like, you know, something weird.
To test the water.
To test the waters. Yeah. And if they it's pull like, back, is it cool? It's like they're like, all right, easy. We're not there yet. You know what I mean?
If the person doesn't react, not even a little thumbs up, you went a little too far. So
you gotta scale pull it back. And don't send 10 memes. Send one or two reels. That's it. You know.
And you gotta wait for the reactions to. It has to. If you're going through the scroll, it has to be a healthy balance between you.
It's gotta be. Send the meme or reel, they respond, and then they send something back, and then it's like this back and forth conversation. You know?
Are we? I have a feeling that we're just kind of going back to the dating episode. It's all like dating.
I mean, dating. Yeah, dating dudes. Well, that are dating couples in a heterosexual setting, maybe. Maybe you're gay. I don't know. It doesn't matter. You know, equal opportunity podcast. Right, Peter?
Yeah, that's right. Everyone's welcome in this podcast.
In this space, yep.
Yeah. So I think, we're just joking around, but, you know, I think dating and making friends is all, you know, it's a social thing. So a lot of overlap here. And I think another thing was if you want to get involved, for example, you find all these cliques in the dojo. I mean, that's just natural.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't want to, like, you know, butt your heads into any other clicks like that. I think it's more to like when you're just starting out, I think it just kind of happens naturally when some of these groups will just invite you if you just show up a lot.
Yeah, you know, like you kind of develop your own little You know?
Yeah.
Even within like the ecosystem of the dojo, right? Like there's people who have kids that you kind of also relate with, and people who you are competitive with in the room. So you relate with them on a grappling level, you know, and you're like, hey man, what are you working on? And that conversation is not the same as when I'm hanging out with a bunch of blue belts who have kids because, you know, we're not working on the same thing. Right. So we're like, hey, you know, what is your life like and what's going on? And school district stuff, that it's kind of nice to be a little bit more versatile, you know? Mm-mm. So it's nice having like that room where, you know, I think that's where the critical mass of the dojo kind of come into play. If you have 20 guys in the room always, and that's your whole gym, right? And everyone's 22 years old, you don't have a very diverse group, which kind of makes it difficult to blend in if you're way younger or way older, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, that critical mass, we talked about this before. Once you reach that point, you can find pretty much like anyone that can share some interest with you.
Yes,
right? Sure. And that's and then that kind of the snowball effect kind of grows. And so you mentioned, you touched on an interesting topic also, like the rivals, having a rival, you know? I think rival is kind of, in a way, your best friend at the dojo.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely not a rival guy anymore. I don't have like rivals in the room. I'm much more cooperative, right? So it's like trying to win.
Well, not rival in the sense that like you have to beat that guy. It's more like, you know, you're about same skill level.
Yes.
Similar weight.
Yeah, maybe not for me, but like guys, intermediate guys, they have like the back and forth, like you and Eugene.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah, and then like Drew and Hien, the classic matchup. Yes. Yeah,
those guys. Yes,
right. So what do you? I guess you're in a different position because you are, you're basically pretty. When you walk into the room, not a lot of people can match your skill level, I guess. So you. Is that something you miss, like that kind of friendship at the dojo?
You know what's nice? I'll tell you this. Being in a pod, sort of in the intermediate to beginner stage, and collectively being afraid of someone and fearing that person and talking shit about that person. I kind of miss that a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? Or like, man, that guy's always beating the shit out of all of us, right? And then it's like, oh man, I can't wait like one day. And you know, this is how I like related to Vinny Mancuso, who's like my friend, who's like a freak. And we were both high school wrestlers at the New York Athletic Club. And we would go and there'd be these Division I athletes that would literally just beat the piss out of us, you know? And then like, sometimes it would be like guys who are on the freestyle international circuit for US wrestling. Yeah, and they would just like kick the shit out of us all the time. And then, just destroy us. And then, you know, funny enough, if you talk to Vinny, he would say that he's never, ever gotten destroyed. But, like, I remember like, getting the shit kicked out of me and then be like, man, like, those guys, like, he's so good. And then we would, like, talk each other up. Be like, that guy's not so good. That guy freaking sucks. We're gonna beat them. We're going to be better than them in a couple of years. But we could take him down if we really tried. And like, bonding over that, you know?
Oh. Or like, that's an interesting way to term it. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, we were in high school and there was, like, this D1 All-American that was in the room and... You know, I was kind of afraid. He was kind of afraid. We're kind of pretending not to be afraid, but we're both kind of afraid. Like, you wrestle him first. You wrestle him first. No, I'm going to go. No, you go. He's already wrestling that guy. And I like walk up and like, hey, you don't say rolls, right? It's like, hey, you want
to wrestle.
Yeah, you want to wrestle next. And then I'm going to go live, you know? And then the guy will be like, oh, nah, I'm good. You know, because I'm just like a high school kid, right? And then he wouldn't even wrestle me. And I'm like, oh, man, you know? And then I'm like partially relieved. And then Vinny goes over and goes, you want to go live? And then the guy's like, all right, fine. And now Vinny's in the mix. And I'm like, you know what? Vinny's in there. I'm going to go in there too now. You know, so now I'm like in the mix now. And, you know, we're scrapping. And, you know, we're getting beat. But that kind of a thing, it creates this bond, man. Like, I'll never forget that. Just being, I miss that. I definitely miss that, you know?
Yeah.
And I get a little bit of that in jiu-jitsu where, because I'm not, you know, always the best guy in the room, right? Because I'm still learning jiu-jitsu, you know? And I'm not like, judo, I'm, you know, 99% of the time. So, but like jiu-jitsu, I'm always working on new stuff, right? Open guard, you know, stuff. You know what I mean? So when you're trying new things, you're always going to kind of get beat. You know, I'm trying this thing. And, but yeah, I miss that kind of.
And then that's like a point of you know, shared experience, I guess, like with your other black belts at the gym.
Yeah, yeah. So I think every level there's a certain thing, you know what I mean? And then, you know, when you're a beginner and then there's a woman that's much more skilled and you develop a crush, you know, or something like this.
Refer it back to our
dating episode.
Dating in the dojo.
Yeah, and that's nice. Sometimes, you know, when like a lady's watching and you want to impress her and, you know, you're an intermediate and you're just like going as hard as you possibly can. And there's some magic there. You know what I mean? Right?
I think so. Yeah. If you're into that. Yeah.
Or if you're dating someone and then you bring them to the dojo and like, watch me do this thing.
I don't recommend that. Just because, again, like you said, if you're a grappler, we're like a different breed.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
And not a lot of people get it. My wife doesn't really get it. She doesn't think it's hot. So.
No. All right. What would you do like if you brought your wife to a judo school and she was watching and then somebody was just beating the shit out of you? What would she say afterwards?
She... You know, so that's never happened to me before because you got no, not because I'm good, because she's come a couple of times and then every time you guys would just flop all over in front of me.
We're trying to look good. That's the right thing to do, by the way.
Yeah.
If you guys are friends.
But then the problem is she doesn't really get it. She doesn't know the rules and then she kind of thinks like, everyone's kind of, you're throwing... Yeah, you threw all your friends and cool. But she doesn't really get the intricacies. Like, I can't say it's like, hey, did you see me throw Shintaro with Uchimara? You know how, you know, he's a lot better than me, you know?
Let me ask you a question. If you brought her to the dojo and everyone just relentlessly beat on you the whole time, do you think she would find you less attractive?
I don't think it'll change anything.
Really?
Because she doesn't really care about that.
What if you're getting held down and you start crying?
If I start crying, maybe it's like she'll be kind of concerned why I'm crying. Maybe I'm hurt. But I asked her about this. I mean, this is kind of a digression, but because she doesn't do any type of grappling, it's the concept is very foreign to her. So she doesn't find grappling prowess or lack thereof.
Yeah.
It's like she's indifferent about it, so.
You know what happened? If I was a woman, that's a weird thing to say, but if I was a woman and I was dating someone and I went to the dojo and then they were playing open guard stuff from bottom, I would immediately be like, why was this man on top of you the whole time and that's so unattractive? Like, I can't be with you anymore. It's probably what I would do. Probably what happened.
Yeah. It is a weird position. You can, if you think about it that way. Yeah.
People only see top and bottom. That's it. And then people think, person on top's winning always.
Yeah.
Even if you get triangled, it's like that guy was like pushing you onto the floor, huh?
A lot of people. Yeah. That's a foreign concept, I guess. You could beat someone from the ground. But anyway, back to
attached onto his arm. I was like, honey, I was extending his arm. I could have broken it. It's like, it looked like you were clinging onto his arm for dear life and he was holding you onto the ground. Like, it was really unattractive.
Well, that's another thing. I mean, going back to the friendship thing, like if you do this together, you have this shared experience.
That's true.
You know what it feels like to be like to the point where at the brink of your arm being broken.
That's very true. Very true.
Or you're getting bombed. But anyway, so I think kind of to recap, you know, making friends at judo, you know, all the social norms, you know, it's not like weird people. Yeah, just I think showing up, if you don't feel intimidated, we're all regular people.
That's
just
true.
Show up, keep coming, and then and then the people who are already there, we should try to be nice to everyone, include everyone, make sure they feel welcome. Yeah.
Sure.
So now this is kind of our personal conversation we always have, like, you know, because we were the, like, when we were in our mid-20s, whatever, we were the ones who were, like, organizing everything, going out and all that. And now, we've kind of moved past that. I guess we're not part of the cool kids anymore.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't socialize with my students that much anymore. I think with that was the era, right? Where like when I was late 20s, we were all in our late 20s. Or, yeah. We had a bunch of black belts that were all savages. And then we'd all train and go eat and drink afterwards. You know, like those days are kind of long gone for me. And I think the tail end of that, where I was still kind of like hanging out and like, you know, bullshit with some of the guys, like if they had a birthday I would go to. I think that was like, the last guy was like George, you know, and he just moved.
Yeah.
So now, man, I know. You know, obviously Eugene, because he's my cousin, I see him at Thanksgiving and stuff. But I think those days are very few and limited at this point. And I think, but that's just that natural progression of things, you know?
I think so.
School. You know, it's like the S curve in business, right?
What is that?
You know, it goes up and then it goes down and then it like peters off and then that's it.
Oh,
you know?
So
you got to kind of constantly innovate and then reinvent. And the dojo social scene cannot always be built around, you know, the instructor. Let's go out to dinner, guys. Like, can't really be.
Yeah.
And I have my other, you know, communities that I belong to in Sacha.
Yeah.
So it's kind of better that way for me to kind of like step away from it from a social standpoint, I think.
You know, and you see the new, like, clicks coming up, right? Now you observe different groups of friends happening in KBI right now.
For sure. Yeah, they definitely like go out to eat and stuff. And but you know, New York City's so transient. You know, it's tough, right?
Yeah, I mentioned this because I think for me it was a little hard to let that go of that part of life because I had so much fun with you guys.
Yeah,
but I think, you know, we just kind of appreciate it and then kind of let it go. You know, things change.
It was a beautiful chapter, you know? Like, I remember one time I was dating this woman and then I brought her around Peter and Peter was like, something really mean. And then she looked at me to do something and I was like, what do you want me to do? Peter's my brother. Like, and then she was like, I can't believe he said that. Did Peter just call me a gold digger? I was like, no, he didn't. But I kind of, maybe he kind of did, like, not that I have money, but like,
there was one episode and a half. Like, if you get me drunk, I'll tell you. But that was a funny situation.
Yeah. It was fun, man. It was like being 20 something. Like, you know, maybe I was like 30, right?
Yeah, we all lived right next to each other too. So we were like, you know, go out to the local bars and then like go out after.
Yeah. And I had the perfect thing because it's like I wasn't really working a day job. So it's like I could go out and have drinks. I didn't have kids. So it's like, you know, all right, let's go. You know, we all lived in the 70s, right? So it was like, let's take the subway together. We go there. So you guys want to get a burger? And then we get a burger. It's like, you guys want a couple of beers? And we have like,
I know,
like eight, you know?
One time we just wanted to grab some snacks. We had already drunk at the bar.
Yeah.
And we were like, hey, let's get some, I don't know, snacks at the bodega across the street.
Yeah.
And then we ran into all these restaurant workers just hanging out, drinking beer in the back of the bodega.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we ended up hanging out with them until 5 a.m.
Yeah, as well. Yeah.
It's good times. But
yeah.
Anyway, those days are gone. But I think I just want to give you guys a perspective on what we went through and, you know, how we became friends and all.
Yeah, it's good to have friends.
Missing the,
you know, yeah. It's a good thing. Right? It's harder to make friends when you're older, too, though. Definitely.
I
you have more responsibilities and all that stuff. But when you're grappling, I think it's a lot easier to make friends because, you know, you're in the same place all the time. And I just think it's a really good place to, you know.
And I think a lot of times this close contact activities kind of break down all the social masks people may put on.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's like a more kind of levels of playing field. And
Yes,
I've always, like, they're like,
you
know, higher ups in the like banks in New York, you know, at your dojo and all like high, like lawyers and whatnot. Yeah. But they all, like, once we were on the mat, it's just, everyone's a grappler, and
I really
appreciate that fact. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. All right.
Yeah.
Well, anything else we miss about making friends at judo?
I feel like this was a very weird episode.
Why? I didn't think so.
There's nothing to do with technical judo at all. It's just like making friends. How to make friends 101.
Everyone needs that. I mean, I think a lot of times it's, you know, I think this is it is most overlooked aspect of judo, but it's one of the best or important parts.
I think that's the most important thing for retention, really. If you can be friendly with somebody and people are like, hey, man, where are you? And you look forward to seeing those guys outside of, like, just the technical side of training. If your whole world is like, I got to go to the gym and get better and beat these guys, then you're not going to last, you know?
Yeah.
But you're trying to make yourself better. They're trying to make themselves better. And you could help each other get there. That's a different type of friendship. You know what I mean? It's not like you're working in the office trying to backstab each other for that promotion. You know, it's a little bit different.
Yeah. We're all trying to, you know, bring everyone up together.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling.
And also, it sounds like we made this episode so that you can delegate your retention work to your members. Okay. Yep.
That's why you gotta, I'll tell you this, man. If you made it this far, I'm going to give you a tidbit. That microaggression, you got to be on top of it. And, you know, when people hear microaggression, it's like, oh, you know, this soft Twinkie crowd or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, man. When, like, there's guys who were wearing a black belt who were like, actually, that technique was good. Actually, that wasn't so bad. It's like they're literally saying or, you know, implying, like, I didn't expect anything good out of you. You kind of suck.
Yeah.
So the way people talk to each other, right, and not putting each other down. You know what I mean? Is a big thing that you can kind of manage that culture in your community. And when you could do that, it makes it a much easier place for people to make friends safely. And then when they make friends with each other in a positive way, in a non-toxic way, then the dojo is going to grow on itself, you know? So it's a really big piece of it, right? Because we're so close, because there's so much ego and stuff already kind of, and aggression and testosterone, and all these different things are already there. You know what I mean? You got to really watch out for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and these friends and hobbyists are the bedrock of the dojo, and then they are gonna, you know, help your serious competitors compete later, and, you know, like, go out to the world, whatever. You need these people.
Absolutely.
You know, we need to help support them so that they can support you, like, so that everyone benefits.
Yes.
Cool.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that's about it.
Yep.
I think it was a great episode.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I don't think it was weird at all.
So positive.
I know.